What I believe the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today is titled Paying the Price. And like I said in the morning, it's not paying the price, it's paying the price. Jesus has already paid the ultimate price. Amen. All we need to do is just enjoy the benefit of what he did on the cross. Amen. And the benefit of what he did on the cross is to give us access to come into the presence of God. Amen. Because the veil is torn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So scripture says we can come boldly into the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Amen. Do I have the people of God in the house today?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I want to say to you, fasten your seatbelt, okay? And I'm going to read some few scriptures to you. I'm going to read from Luke 18, verse 1. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Matthew 6, 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. What has challenged me is that over the years, I began to see a lot of leaders fall, a lot of pastors, scandals, and I began to see worship leaders falling. And it really began to bother me as I began to speak to God and I say, Lord, what's going on? And then I heard clearly in my spirit, son, I have not called you to build an empire. Amen. The church has not been called to build an empire. Amen. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. But we watch and sing. Amen. But God is still calling the church back to prayer. Because prayer is the engine room for the church. Amen. The apostles of old, the men of old, wherever you read about revival, wherever you read about breakthroughs, wherever you read about miracles, wherever you see the power of God flowing, you realize that there are men and women who travail in prayer. Amen. And I just want to really encourage you because when I came to KT in 1990, I remember there used to be a lady who used to sit where you are. Her name is Florence. And this woman used to intercede all through. Amen. I remember people like Felix, John, Christian Life. I remember these ones who will just pray all night and then they will head up to Leicester Square. And we were seeing souls get saved. Amen. And I remember recently in October when there was a prayer summit. I remember coming downstairs when I read they were going to pray and they were going to pray in tongues for, was it 2 hours or 3 hours? I said, I want to be part of it. So I came. And I saw Pastor Claude F., Pastor Andy, Scott, Eddie, they were all on the floor. They were praying. And you know, I just said, this is what the church is all about. Amen. This is what the church should be. Amen. Look, I love entertainment. I'm from that industry. But when you get to realize that we can dance and dance and dance, and the enemy has its foothold in our homes, in our families, in our businesses, in our community, then it is time for the church to get back on its knees and cry out to God and say, Lord, we need you more than ever before. Let it not just be a song, but let it be the cry of our heart. Amen? You know, when the church was persecuted in the book of Acts, one of the things that I noticed about the church was that they didn't sign a petition. They didn't go out protesting. They didn't try to lobby ministers. They didn't try to lobby anyone. Because who were you going to lobby? Who were you going to write a petition to? But they knew they could only do one thing. And that one thing is found in Acts 4, 23 to 31. As Peter and John returned to the apostles, and the Bible says they told the apostles everything that had happened. And when they told them what had happened, the Bible says they raised their voices and began to pray. It says as they prayed in that place shook. The building shook, and the Holy Spirit filled the place. And once again, they spoke with boldness. Amen. Hey, let me quickly give you a picture here. In Acts 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 1, they were together in one place. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Am I right? Yes. So why did they need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit in Acts 4? It's because as it gets tougher, as the situation becomes stronger, you need more anointing to fight the devil. Amen? Look, I'm sorry, but I'm just tired of coming to church. I sing, I dance, I go away. It was a good sermon, but where is the power? Am I making sense? I've read about church history where people were preaching upstairs and there were people downstairs in the basement interceding. Amen? So people of God, it's time for the church to return to prayers that will shake buildings. Praying the price is not paying the price, but acknowledging the price that Christ paid at Calvary. Christ died to have a powerful church, not a dancing church. Amen? I might sound a little bit controversial, but you know something? I couldn't care less anymore. Especially when I see the wounds in the church. When I see the pain, when I see people walk away from the church, when I see children, when I see our youth, when I see our young ones go away from God, it's time for the church to pray. Amen. It's time for us to dig deep. It's time for us to break the fallow ground and say, Lord, we need you. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14 to 15, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Now, I like verse 15. He says, now my eyes will be, amen, my ears will be attentive. So there is a place of humbling. Prayer is a sign of humility. Prayer is saying, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I am bankrupt in myself. You're the only one who can do it, and we need you. It's time to cry out to God and say, Lord, we need you more than ever before. You know, there's a saying, it says, when the going gets tough, is it the tough gets going? But I want to say to you, when the situation gets tough, the church fall on their knees. When the situation gets tough, the church digs deeper. Hallelujah. Amen. It is time to pray. It is time to come away from our lukewarmness. Do you know what's interesting about lukewarmness? Lukewarmness is very deceitful. How many of you know that? Because with lukewarmness, you think, oh, I'm okay. But Jesus is saying, you are either cold or hot. He says, I don't want in between. I want you to be hot. I want there to be a passion. I want there to be a passion for prayer. I want there to be a passion for souls. I want there to be a passion to see people set free. Amen. In 2020, I actually love 2020. Oh, it was a very relaxing time for me. And I remember being ill from the 23rd of March all the way to the 10th of April. I couldn't get out of bed. And whilst I was lying there, everything that I heard was lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. And I hate the word lockdown. And as I cried out to God, I said, I hate the word lockdown. And I was saying to God, people say good things about me, but if I stand before you, would you say the same thing about me? And the Lord said to me, son, you're not locked down. You're locked in with me. It is time for us to be locked in with God so that we can hear him clearly. During that period, prayer summits, Zoom prayers, men's prayer, women's prayer, whatever prayer were on Zoom, and Zoom was booming. I believe Zoom made so much money in 2020. And I believe Psalm 91, if we were to pay for it, oh Lord, there would have been the royalty that will have gone to Moses. Because that was when everyone all of a sudden woke up to Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Hey, wait a minute. That scripture has always been there. Are you getting me? And as time went on, as we began to gradually come out of COVID, those prayer summits began to fizzle out. But at first, we thought this is revival. But as they began to fizzle out, it then occurred to me that the reason why we pray is need-based. We pray when there's a need, we pray as a knee-jerk reaction. But we do not realize that prayer in itself should be birthed out of intimacy. Prayer in itself should be birthed out of knowing God. Because it's until you know him, then you know his will. Amen? Prayer should be a lifestyle of every believer. The way most believers think of prayer is based on our mental concept of prayer. Many of us have heard people say, oh, you're not praying enough. Many have heard people say, oh, I've prayed and prayed, so I'm not praying anymore because God is not answering my prayer. We must never see prayer as a formula, but as a lifestyle. As believers, we must see prayer as the air in our lungs. We must see it as the blood that flows through our veins. Amen. When we see it that way, then we will begin to have faith, trust, and confidence in God. Amen. The reason why so many people feel God doesn't answer their prayer is because of their proximity with God. What's your proximity with God like? Amen. And we need to come back to that place of what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. It says, praying without ceasing. Amen. Luke 18:1 says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And I want to submit to you, people of God, that it's of utmost importance that we realize that prayer is not about asking God to supply our needs. Amen. That's not what it is about. Prayer is getting to know him. Amen. Our prayer life should be birthed out of sincere intimacy with God.
Our prayer life should be based on knowing God more and more. It should be based on communing with God. The truth be said, prayer is not something that comes to us naturally. Amen. How many of you know, sometimes I don't like to pray. But the one thing that pushes me to prayer is the fact that, God, I want to be where you are. God, I want to hear you. I want to know what's on your heart. Amen. I want to love on you. Do you know, sometimes you have your TV, you have your phone, you have all those things, and they're competing with you being with him, with you hearing his will. Many of us today, you know where we get up at the will of God from? We get it from our mobile phones. It's like, oh, this was what this pastor said. This was what this person said. Oh, there is a mighty prayer up man in that corner. Everybody rush there. There's another one that has just arisen. Everyone rush there. Some people will say to you that God said, come to this church. And some few days later, he's like, oh, God is calling me to another church. Why? Because they pray there. What about your own prayer life? Are you getting me? The reason why many Christians do not understand what it means to be led by the Spirit is because we are not feeding our spirit. We fed our flesh so much that we mostly pray from the flesh and not from the Spirit. Amen? Romans 8:26 says, for we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps what? Our weaknesses. Amen? Through groanings and travailings, the word cannot utter. And he who knows the heart of the Spirit prays in accordance with the will of God for the saints. So prayer is also praying the will of God. Amen? What is on God's heart? 1 John 5 says this. He says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we pray according to what? His will, we know that he hears us. Amen. So how do you know the will of God if you are praying or if you are dealing with him from a distance or having a third party, having an intermediary? Do you know the only intermediary you have is Jesus? Amen. And he's made a way for you and I to come boldly into the throne room of grace, to come boldly into the Father. He says in Matthew 6:6, he says, when you pray. Now listen to me, I'm not talking about corporate prayer. I will speak about that in a minute. I'm just talking about our individual prayer life. Because you see, when we build up our individual prayer life, what happens is that when we go to prayer meetings, we're going to be part of it. We will have something to give. But if our prayer life is not strong enough, if our spirit man is not being developed, when we go to prayer meetings, we use it as a crutch. Amen. Because sometimes we all have this thing about fix me, fix me, fix me. I need this, I need this, I need this. There was a movie I watched a long time ago. I don't know why this came to me. It's called Finding Nemo. And they were going, mine, 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 mine. And sometimes that's how we make prayer. Mine, 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 mine. But God is saying, yes, I know it's yours. But I want you to come into a place where you get to know me. Where you get to know why it's yours. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I hope I'm challenging me today. Oh, hallelujah. Our prayers must align with his will. Do you know what is interesting? Jesus never spoke about unanswered prayers. Okay? He spoke about prayers that will be answered. He always says, ask and ye shall receive.
Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For whosoever asks, receives. Whosoever knocks, the door get open. Whosoever seek, find. If you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give gifts to those who ask them? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. How do you seek that? It's in the place of prayer. Amen. It's in the place of prayer. You know, the disciples, I'm just trying to be very careful here so that you can, as I'm not rushing what I'm saying. The disciples saw Jesus pray. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him walk on water. They saw him actually raise Lazarus. And even in that place, when Jesus was praying to raise Lazarus, he says, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. So God always answers prayers. So the disciples saw him. They watched him. And when we come to Luke 11, verse 1, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. They didn't say, teach us how to raise the dead. They didn't say, teach us how to do miracles. They didn't say, teach us how to walk on water. They said, teach us how to do what? Why would they say, teach us how to pray? Because they watched Jesus. They saw the way Jesus spent time with his Father. And they realized that what Jesus is doing comes out of his intimacy with the Father. Amen. What they saw was evidence that Jesus loved his Father. Jesus was in close proximity with his Father. Jesus gave his Father every time. After every success, after every miracle Jesus did, guess what he did? He ran back into that place to spend time with the Father. Even when he was choosing his disciples, the Bible says he prayed all night. And then the following day, he came and picked his disciples. Who will you rather imitate? Jesus. Who will you say, teach me how to pray? Jesus. They saw all of that and they knew that if they were going to pray the prize, they needed Jesus to teach them how to pray. Amen. May we say today, Lord Jesus, teach us how to pray. The true purpose of prayer is to know God and to know his will. And so Jesus encourages us that when we pray, we should go into our closet and we should shut the door and pray to our Father who is in secret place. And he says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's why you can come out of that prayer closet. You come out and you pray for people. You come out and you lay hands on the sick and they get healed. You come out and you can cast out demons. You come out because you are filled with the Father. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus in John 17, when he was praying for the disciples, he says, I do not pray only for these ones, but I pray also for those ones who will hear them and will believe because of their saying, that we all may be one, that the glory which you have given me, that we may share in the glory together. It's the oneness. And the only way to get to that is to be a person of prayer. A person who spends time in his presence, praying, getting to know him. Is there anyone in the house who wants to do that today? I believe Jesus is bringing the church back to a place of personal relationship with the Father. A place of oneness. Amen. And I want to say to you, there's nothing wrong in congregational prayer meetings. There isn't. It's powerful. Amen. It's powerful. But the mindset has to be right. Amen. The mindset has to be right. You know, when you read Ephesians 6, it says something about praying with all kinds of prayer. And I realize that all kinds of prayer is not just one prayer. Intercession, thanksgiving, supplication, repentance, dedication, praise. These are all part of all prayers. So if we are led by the Spirit, we will know what prayer to pray at what time and for what things. Amen. So that we're not just praying blanket prayer, because everyone is praying blanket prayer. I think it was about, he's not up to 10 years now, because the boy is about 7. One night about 2 a.m., the phone rings. My wife and myself were called by a family member. And people of God, I love my sleep. I don't like it being disturbed. When I want to sleep, I sleep. I sometimes will dedicate just one day and not do anything and just sleep. So I was sleeping and the phone rings and we got up. And one of my family members has just had a baby boy and the boy wasn't breathing. So there were two options. It's either he starts breathing or they certify him dead. And so the phone rings and they said, oh, pray, pray, pray. So I dragged myself out of bed and I said, Father, please heal him. And then I heard, he breathed into man and he became a living being. And he said, tell them that. So I told them that and I went back to sleep. And my wife was like, my wife is, look, she's a better teacher, she's a prophet, but me, I just want to sleep. And so my wife turns around and says, you're sleeping, we're supposed to pray. I said, but the Lord has spoken, so why do I need to pray? You need to know the heart of God. The boy today is about 7. And guess what? He's my favorite friend. When he picks up the phone, can I speak to Uncle Roland? Can I speak to Pastor Roland? Look, listen, people of God, when you are in that close proximity with him, you know what's on his heart. Are you getting me? It's not, look, this might sound wrong. It's not how long you pray, but it's the quality of your prayer. And there are times when you need to pray long. I know men of God. I've read about men of God because I read about men of prayer who've prayed for 2 hours. I know those who've prayed for 7 hours. I've read about those who've prayed for 12 hours nonstop. But it's the quality of your relationship and your intimacy with him that makes the difference. That's why Jesus could come out of that prayer place and go to a place like the Pool of Bethesda and say, see so many disabled people, and then stretch his hand out to one and heal that one. He says, do you want to be healed? And he begins to, oh, you know, when they came to change the water, do you want to be healed? And there are some of you here, I believe he's asking, do you want to be healed? He's asking, do you want to be delivered? Do you want to be set free? And your mindset is still, oh, this man of God has not laid hands on me. I haven't been to that place. I haven't been to that world. Stop! And find a place. Jesus calls it a secret place. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your closet and close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who is in secret will reward you how? Openly. People of God, I'm not saying don't go to congregational prayers. They are important. But I'm asking about my own personal prayer life. Amen? We have needs. There are needs everywhere. People have sick parents. People have sick children. We have communities that are filled with gangs. We have community. We have people who are in prison. The Bible tells us in Acts 12, he says when Peter was in prison, in chain, the church did what? Prayed. Continuously. Earnestly. I think the church learned a lesson. And I always ask myself, Lord, why was James killed and Peter released? And I said to myself, maybe the church then realized all of a sudden, they've killed James, so We have to intensify our prayer. Do you think we need to intensify our prayer? Do you think this church, do you think Kensington Temple needs to intensify its prayer? Do you think Kensington Temple need to arise and say, enough is enough? We want Jesus. We want the Holy Spirit back. Is it time to begin to dig the well again? Let's not give excuses. Like Nike, just do it. I was speaking to someone and he said to me, if you pray more than once, the second time is lack of faith. I said, no, that's not what the Bible says. I said, it's not scriptural. I said, there was only one person that I believe said that, and that was Smith Wigglesworth. And he's not God. And I'm not being flippant. Smith Wigglesworth was able to say that based on his relationship with God. This is a man who says, he says, I pray for 30 minutes. But 30 minutes doesn't go by without me praying again for another 30 minutes. He says, if I read the newspaper, I become dirtier. But if I read the word of God, I become clean. He says, I'd rather be clean. So this man knew what it meant to be in close proximity. Amen. I want to say to you today, there are situations, there are challenges in your life. You need to learn to push. Pray until something happens. Don't just pray and then leave it. Look, I have had times when I've prayed for things for 25 years. And it only materialized after 25 years. There are things I'm still praying for 32 years. And I've not seen it, but I've not given up. Jesus prays, men, says men ought to pray and not give up. Luke 18, verse 1. He then tells us the story about this woman who was praying to the judge. And Jesus then said, hear the unjust judge. How much more will your heavenly Father avenge those who cry out to him day and night? What is it that you're crying out to God for? What's the sickness? What's the need? What is it that you need the Father to do? Jesus is saying, go into your closet and cry out to him. And he will reward you openly. And you know what's interesting? Those who would say, who are you? When they see you come out of your closet, they'll say, how are you? Amen. Because they'll say, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. He has turned your situation around. He has turned lives around. He has set them free. But Psalm 127, it says, when the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, they were like those who dreamt. Then they said there among the Edens, the Lord has done great things for them. That is why they are glad. Those who go out sowing with tears will doubtless return rejoicing, bringing in their sheaves with them. You know why? Because they've learned to push. They've learned to push beyond their limit. They've learned to push beyond what is capping their life. They've learned to push beyond their limitation. Are you ready to push today? Are you ready to push? Pastor Scott was talking about Wednesday prayer, and I laugh sometimes because if a Wednesday prayer was, come, let's pray so that you might have financial breakthrough, the people were coming through this door. Oh, come, let's pray so that the enemy will be set, will let you go. People come. But I always ask myself this question. You've gone to that prayer meeting for years. Why are you still being bound? It's because you're not praying what's on God's heart. This community needs Jesus. They are rich. But Jesus says, he says it's easier for a camel to go past the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He says that in Luke 18, but in Luke 19, he tells us about, what's his name? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was rich, but then he comes back. He says to Jesus, hey, this is what I owe this. I'm giving them back. And Jesus says, yes, today salvation has come to this house. He was a rich man. Prayer softened the hearts of men. Amen. So praying the prize is pushing past that barrier. It's coming to him and saying, Lord, what you want, that's what I want. Lord, your will, let it be my will. How many of you realize that Jesus died in Gethsemane before he got to the cross? How many of you believe that? He had to abandon his will to the Father before he could go to the cross. If he was still holding onto his will, that's why he said, Father, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, let your will be done. And the Father's will was for him to be crucified. So he had to die in Gethsemane before going to the cross. Have I made sense, people of God?